In 1967, Congress held a series of hearings on hunger in America. The public health crisis at that time was starvation. Lawmakers heard testimony and saw photos that showed the agonizing results of poor diet, emaciated children with stick-thin legs and bloated bellies. In the four decades since, the federal government has created a vast network of food assistance programs for poor families. Today, the U.S. spends $18 billion on food stamps and $5 billion on WIC, the nutritional program for women, infants, and children. Scholar Douglas Besharov of the American Enterprise Institute says these hunger programs need to be fine-tuned. He argues that today the central nutritional problem facing the poor is not too little food. He says it's too much food of the wrong kind.
I was in Mississippi as a civil rights worker in 1968. I saw those children. I carried those kids. I know what starvation looks like. If you go to those same areas now, if you go to the inner cities of any of our large cities, what you'll see is not skinny children with stomachs protruding. You will see children obviously overweight, fat, many of them to the point of obesity.
How did we get to this point?
Well, I think mostly, we have become more affluent and more sedentary. This is our whole society.
But we're not talking about affluent families. We're talking about families that don't have enough money to purchase groceries, and that's why they participate in these food aid programs.
But affluence is relative. People in the 60s, especially in the South, were dirt poor. That's changed. In the 60s, African-American families were largely denied AFDC. They were kept off because of their race. There was no food stamp program. The way that poor, especially rural African-Americans were fed in the South in the 60s was through the commodities program. People had to get a car, drive someplace, get bags full of food, and carry them home, and that had to last for the month. That world has changed. Now, almost everyone who's eligible for welfare gets about $4,000 or $5,000 a year per family. They get food stamps, about $3,000 or $4,000 a year per family. There's WIC, which is about $120 a month. You add that up, it's not great. I don't want to say life is wonderful. It's different. There's money for food, and what's happening is people are being encouraged, I think at this point, to consume too much food. Now, that doesn't mean that they're getting the right kinds of food. It doesn't mean at all that the funding should be cut. But they have enough money now to eat more food than they should.
Now, the problem with obesity often begins in childhood. Let's talk about the free and reduced price school lunch and breakfast program.
The school lunch program, the school breakfast program, were designed as being the major meals that a child would have. School lunch program was in part a response to the stunted condition of draftees in World War II. They had no money at home. Well, we know there's just a much larger abundance of food. If the school lunch program were being provided in a third world country, then the amount of fats and calories and starch, and it would be totally justifiable. We live in a different world in which children consume more calories than they need to grow and be healthy. The magic word here is modernization, not cut back, modernization.
The WIC program not only provides food, but it also provides families with a bit of nutritional counseling. That would seem to be a good thing.
Totally, and I wish it did more. I think the figure is that the average WIC family gets 15 minutes of counseling every 3 months. I wish it was every month. I wish it was only about nutrition. By federal law, part of that 15 minutes every 3 months has to be about voter education. Now, I'm all for that, and maybe that makes sense, but you quickly run out of time.
Why has it been so difficult to modernize the food aid programs?
Well, here you can be a lefty or a righty, which is to say you can blame people on the left and you can blame people on the right. Big business has an interest in these programs. If I'm right, and if the people who do this research are correct, that federal food programs increase consumption by someplace between 10 and 20%, then that's 10 or 20% more sales to the poor. But I don't think that the food industry by itself would be able to maintain this kind of hammer lock on the federal feeding program so that they don't change.
You know, but some would say that it's counterintuitive and even cruel to amend these programs so that you're giving poor families less food.
This is not an argument to cut down the amount of food. Spend as much money. Make it healthier. Why does the food program have to be 58% of a child's caloric intake for the day? Give a child more choices. Now, I've been to fancy, expensive private schools. They have difficulty delivering a salad bar that doesn't have brown lettuce. Go to an inner city school. Just the idea of seeing a salad bar would surprise you. We should be pushing for healthier food. And I think the only way we get there is to admit that the problem has changed from hunger, and I mean serious hunger and starvation, to now eating healthier and eating a little less. Again, we could start this conversation by saying, not a penny less, and in this recession, more money. That's not the argument here. The argument here is better eating for longer and healthier lives.
Douglas Besheroff, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Douglas Besheroff is the Jacobs Scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and a professor at the University of Maryland.